the latest agriculture news from across the state and the nation, here's Farm City Newsday by AgNet West. Here's your host, Danielle Leal.
Hey, good morning, and thanks for joining us today here on AgNet West Farm City Newsday. Starting off today's program with a California Farm Bureau Food and Farm News report, wine grape growers in Napa County are crediting healthy composting measures for helping transition vineyards to organic production. Napa County ranked second to Mendocino County in total organic wine grape acreage. Organic still accounts for less than 10% of wine grape production in Napa and about one-fourth of production in Mendocino. But improvements in fertilizers are convincing more growers to transition to organic. Moving right along into today's program headlines, drought-impacted ranchers to receive USDA assistance for transportation costs. I've got details on why Secretary Vilsack thinks it's important to hear from farmers and ranchers when it comes to WOTUS. And before we hear those reports, I'm tossing it right on over to Brian German to start off today's program with details from last week's rally at the Capitol, where AgNet West Brian German had a firsthand opportunity to take a listen to the agriculture industry advocates who gathered to encourage Governor Newsom to veto Assembly Bill 616.
Ag industry members rallied at the state capitol last week to encourage Governor Gavin Newsom to veto AB 616. California Farm Bureau President Jamie Johansson explained that the issue of water is a far more pressing matter than card check legislation opposed by many ag employees.
AB 616 is a bill that fundamentally changes how union elections would go. In fact, ultimately would deny up to 49% of employees the opportunity to vote on whether they wanted to be unionized. For them to bring this bill up at a time when our greatest priority right now is just to keep our farms and ranches operating and our employees working really just speaks volumes where the priorities of this legislature are, and they're out of whack. This drought is not insignificant, yet playing politics and doing a union checkoff wish list at the end of the session instead of dealing with real issues is unacceptable, and that's what AB 616 is. It's a wish list item that needs to be vetoed by Governor Newsom.
I'm Brian German for AgNet West Radio Network.
Thanks, Brian. And the Agriculture Secretary says the latest efforts to revise part of the Clean Water Act includes and should include comment and participation from farmers, ranchers, and landowners. Here is USDA's Rod Bain with more.
The latest Environmental Protection Agency efforts to define what is a water of the U.S. is based on two sets of rules developed by different presidential administrations in place in different states across the country, with EPA's opinion that
both rules have some challenges.
So as Agriculture Secretary Tom Vilsack explained recently on a Farm Journal program, EPA appears to be starting from scratch in developing a new rule.
By going out and listening to essentially create an understanding and a relationship and a communication between producers so that everybody knows what's on the table.
The secretary explains a law and court rulings direct EPA's administrator to craft a rule within a specific time period.
The question is how you do it. And to the extent that you do it collaboratively, to the extent that you do it by listening to farmers and ranchers and producers and making sure that what you are putting forward makes sense out in the field, that I think is a positive thing.
I'm Rod Bain reporting for the U.S. Department of Agriculture in Washington, D.C.
The Center for Produce Safety has received an additional $1 million to help support important research in the area of food safety. The Fresh Produce Division of the global food distribution giant Sysco, conventional and organic grower Tanamurin Antle, and grower groups California Fresh Fruit Association and Washington State Tree Fruit Association have all contributed $250,000 each as part of the latest research capital campaign. CPS finances produce-specific food safety research, which is in turn made available to industry members, government agencies, and other stakeholders through various outreach efforts. CFFA President Ian LeMay explained that CPS provides an invaluable service to the produce industry with the research they conduct.
Yes, so this is our second round of our participation in capital projects for the Center for Produce Safety. We first executed a five-year, $100,000 per year, so $500,000 over a five-year period. This is our second entree to it. And really what it is it's a demonstration of our commitment to the work that the Center for Produce Safety does for our industry every day. Our relationship with them first started post a listeria outbreak that we saw in the 2013 timeframe. They helped us to do needed research in that area of food safety. in response to that recall. Since the continuance of our partnership just last year, we saw again another recall dealing with salmonella and peaches. We quickly worked with the Center for Produce Safety staff to partner up with the University of Sydney to do some research on mitigating efforts within the orchard. And now we're looking to continue that research with domestic-based universities on in-house or in-packing house mitigation efforts. And so they are a catalyst to the research, the needed research that we have to do, not only for our industry, but collectively across the produce industry, you know, at all. And so our small commitment or contribution to them is just our way of acknowledging their importance. And, you know, my challenge to the rest of the produce industry is to come to the table and continue to help supporting them as well, because they're a needed resource.
I'm Brian German for AgNet West Radio Network.
Thanks, Brian. Don't forget, if you've missed any of our morning shows or if you simply need to catch the news at a different time, you can always subscribe to our podcast and have statewide agriculture news at your convenience. All you have to do is search Farm City Newsday on your favorite podcast downloading app. That's Farm City Newsday. It's available on both Apple and Android devices. Stay tuned. We've got more agriculture news after the break. Are you looking to increase yields up to $1,200 per acre? Well, our friends over at Phycoterra have a soil microbe food that's the glue your soil needs to improve the microbial life and provide growth to your crop and return. With the application of Phycoterra to your soil, it can increase water retention, improve nut quality, and provide longer-term viability. You can stick to growing and let Phycoterra stick to your soil. Head on over to phycoterra.com/almonds to see the difference on your orchards today. That's phycoterra.com/almonds. BioBest Sustainable Crop Management is the leader and most reliable supplier in biological crop protection and pollination. Since 1987, their team has dedicated themselves to bringing you sustainable alternatives for pest management. Interested in hearing more? Reach their representatives at customerservice.na@biobestgroup.com. That's customerservice.na@biobestgroup.com. And a local representative will reach out to you within 24 hours. BioBest North America, defining sustainable agriculture.
Wild Eye is a proud partner of growers throughout the Valley State and Nation, providing reliable, affordable, field-proven monitoring and control solutions to help you save time and money and use water effectively. With in-person events back again, the folks from Wild Eye look forward to seeing everyone at the upcoming Crop Consultants Conference in Visalia or the Western Groundwater Conference in Burbank. With more than 50,000 systems working daily on farms like yours, you can count on Wild Eye. Visit them today at mywildeye.com.
Welcome back to Farm City Newsday by AgNet West. In today's national headline, sponsored by the American Farm Bureau Federation and the National Association of Farm Broadcasters. The D.C. Circuit Court of Appeals denied a petition for a rehearing in the case of the American Fuel and Petrochemical Manufacturers versus EPA decision. In that case, the court vacated a 2019 regulation allowing year-round sales of E15. The Renewable Fuels Association, Growth Energy, and the National Corn Growers Association released a joint statement expressing disappointment. The group say in the statement, quote, "Our petition for a rehearing was an opportunity for the D.C. Circuit Court to remedy a decision that runs counter to legal precedent and which, if maintained, threatens our nation's rural economy and progress on moving toward a clean energy future. Today's petition denial is another hurdle to ensuring year-round access to low-carbon E15. But due to the timing, American drivers and retailers will be able to finish out the E15 summer driving season without disruption to their access to cleaner fuel choices at the pump," unquote. The group say moving forward that they'll continue to push for a permanent remedy long before the start of next year's summer driving season. In 2019, the EPA issued its final rule extending the Reed Vapor Pressure Volatility Waiver to E15, allowing the fuel to be sold year-round in conventional gasoline markets. Oil refiners soon after challenged the rulemaking in the D.C. Court of Appeals. These headlines are brought to you by NAFB and sponsored by the American Farm Bureau Federation. Now back to the show.
You've been listening to Farm City Newsday by AgNet West. I'm your host, Danielle Leal. Tossing it right on over to Randall Wiseman with today's livestock report.
Well, in today's livestock news, it was 2 months ago when the U.S. Department of Agriculture announced the Pandemic Livestock Indemnity Program, or PLIP. It's designed to help livestock and poultry producers that suffered losses during the COVID-19 pandemic due to insufficient access to processing. They could apply for assistance for those losses and the cost of depopulation and disposal of the animals. This is a reminder of the deadline to sign up for this assistance is this coming Friday, September 17th. Now, eligible livestock must have been depopulated from March 1st of 2020 through December 26th of 2020 due to insufficient processing access as a result of the pandemic. Livestock must have been physically located in the U.S. or a territory of the U.S. at the time of the depopulation. PLIP payments will be based on 80% of the fair market value of the livestock and poultry and for the cost of depopulation and disposal of the animal. Eligible livestock and poultry include swine, chickens, and turkeys, but pork producers are expected to be the primary recipients for this assistance. Eligible livestock owners include persons or legal entities who, as of the day the eligible livestock was depopulated, had legal ownership of the livestock. Packers, live poultry dealers, and contract growers are not eligible for PLIP. Now, for more information, contact your local USDA Farm Service Agency office. But a reminder, September 17th is the deadline to apply for PLIP. And the U.S. Department of Agriculture recently announced they have accepted offers for more than 2.5 million acres from ag producers and private landowners for enrollment through this year's Grassland Conservation Reserve Program sign-up, or CRP Grassland. This is double last year's enrollment, and it brings the total acres enrolled across all CRP sign-ups this year to more than 5.3 million acres. That surpasses USDA's 4 million acre goal. As a matter of fact, producers and landowners submitted offers for nearly 4 million acres alone in just the grassland CRP. That's the highest in the sign-up's history. Farm Service Agency Administrator Zach Ducheneau discusses the recent acreage enrollment period and how it was actually driven in part by new incentives within the program.
We had a record number of offers for CRP grasslands, and some excellent new incentives tied to CRP grasslands were going to drive that enrollment up. One of the changes to CRP grasslands was to make a national minimum rental rate of $15 per acre, as well as to create two specific zones targeting different resource concerns. One is the elk migratory corridor up in the northwest in the Rocky Mountain area, but another is that Dust Bowl area that is still victim to the same erosion and wind damage that made it famous in the 30s.
Now, through Grassland CRP, producers and landowners can conserve grasslands, rangelands, and pastures while retaining the right to conduct common grazing practices that includes haying, mowing, or harvesting seed from the enrolled land. If you'd like more information, just contact your local FSA office or go to fsa.usda.gov. I'm Randall Wiseman for AgNet West.
The U.S. Department of Agriculture will be providing some relief to drought-impacted ranchers. The financial support is being made available through adjustments made to the Emergency Assistance for Livestock, Honeybees, and Farm-Raised Fish Program. USDA will be helping to cover some of the costs associated with the transport of livestock feed. Coverage of the program will extend to areas that have a drought intensity of D3 or greater, or have experienced a drought intensity of D2 for 8 consecutive weeks. Assistance may also be available in areas where USDA has determined a shortage of local or regional feed availability. Eligibility requirements include having incurred transportation costs for feeds sometime this year for livestock intended for grazing. USDA will be establishing a national cost formula to determine reimbursement rates. USDA's Farm Service Agency will be providing more details about the assistance being provided in the coming weeks. I'm Brian German for AgNet West Radio Network.
Thanks, Brian. It is time for us to head out for a short break. We'll be right back with more of the day's agriculture news and farm features when we return. Are you looking to increase yields up to $1,200 per acre? Well, our friends over at Phycoterra have a soil microbe food that's the glue your soil needs to improve the microbial life and provide growth to your crop and return. With the application of Phycoterra to your soil, it can increase water retention, improve nut quality, and provide longer-term viability. You can stick to growing and let Phycoterra stick to your soil. Head on over to phycoterra.com/almonds to see the difference on your orchards today. That's phycoterra.com/almonds. BioBest Sustainable Crop Management is the leader and most reliable supplier in biological crop protection and pollination. Since 1987, their team has dedicated themselves to bringing you sustainable alternatives for pest management. Interested in hearing more? Reach their representatives at customerservice.na@biobestgroup.com. That's customerservice.na@biobestgroup.com. And a local representative will reach out to you within 24 hours. BioBest North America, defining sustainable agriculture.
Wild Eye is a proud partner of growers throughout the Valley, state, and nation, providing reliable, affordable, field-proven monitoring and control solutions to help you save time and money and use water effectively. With in-person events back again, the folks from Wild Eye look forward to seeing everyone at the upcoming Crop Consultants Conference in Visalia or the Western Groundwater Conference in Burbank. With more than 50,000 systems working daily on farms like yours, you can count on Wild Eye. Visit them today at mywildeye.com.
Welcome back to Farm City News Day by Agnet West. I'm your host, Danielle Leal. For today's interview segment, we're taking a listen to our friend Chuck Zimmerman over at agwire.com. Talk with Marshall Hansen of Farm Credit Services of America. Let's see what they have to say in their conversation about helping customers protect themselves against the potential for higher interest rates.
I'm at the Agri-Marketing Conference taking place in Kansas City, Missouri, and I have with me Marshall Hansen with Farm Credit Services of America. And Marshall, first of all, tell me a little bit about what you do for the organization.
Sure. I'm a senior vice president in our agribusiness capital group, and I work with primarily customers who are in the protein segments. So we work with cattle feeders, pork producers, dairy producers, and then also egg producers.
So how's business for you?
Yeah, you know, it's been good. 2020, of course, was a challenge for everybody, especially in the protein segment. If you were involved with anything that had to be processed by a, you know, by a further processor, it threw everybody for a loop. But I would say that we're at least getting to the place where 2021, we're starting to understand kind of what normal is or what it might look like again. So overall, I would say we're at least kind of back on track and headed in the right direction.
Well, I know a key benefit for your customers is the expertise and advice that you can offer them. What are some of the topics or issues right now that are top of mind and things that you would like to let them know that you might be thinking about?
Yeah, sure. So, you know, there's a lot of talk right now about inflation, and with inflation there comes the potential for higher interest rates. And so we're having a lot of conversations right now with customers about, you know, what happens if interest rates start to move up? What can I do to protect myself against higher interest rates? And so we're having a lot of conversations around looking at fixing rates. Of course, one of the benefits that the Farm Credit System offers is the opportunity to fix interest rates for a long term. So we can do 10 and up to 25 years of fixed rates. And so having a lot of conversations with customers about that as they start to think about maybe what the world might look like if we get out of this ultra low rate and interest rate environment.
In the sector that you're focused on, how would you describe what you've seen in terms of real innovation, new technology, and how does that come into play with their needs financially?
Sure. You know, the customers we work with are truly the innovators in the industries that they're in. You know, they're doing some really incredible things, and it's really exciting to see some of the things that they are doing. The really neat thing is that I would tie some of that back to a lot of this conversation around sustainability that, you know, we're having nationally. You know, they're finding ways to do more with less resources all the time. And so to me, that's really exciting and clearly, you know, innovative when it comes to especially the production agriculture aspect.
For people, whether they're customers, maybe could be, what would you tell them in terms of how do they find you and find the opportunity to take advantage of what you can offer?
Sure. Well, the association that I'm with, we serve Nebraska, Iowa, South Dakota, Wyoming, and then also through Frontier Farm Credit, we serve the eastern part of eastern third of Kansas. So, you know, any of our offices, that's a great place to start. Find us online at fcsamerica.com or frontierfarmcredit.com. So either one of those places is a great opportunity. Of course, you know, we're always at all these kind of meetings, whether it's the national conventions and those kind of things. Anywhere we would find a group of our customers, we're going to be there. And so looking one of us up is a pretty easy thing to do.
How about in closing, any last statement you might want to give to talk about what you do or what's, you know, looking ahead, what the future's like?
Yeah. You know, we spend, again, kind of going back to interest rates, we spend a lot of time talking with customers about their cost of production and how they can manage their cost of production. Interest rates and interest expense, of course, is a part of that. One of the unique things about our business model and the Farm Credit System is we have a patronage program. And in 2020, we paid back 1% of the interest that our customer provided or paid us. We just recently paid another 0.25% back to our customers here at the end of June. And so, you know, for us, it's a really rewarding opportunity for us to help a customer achieve some goals, but also to be a part of helping them to make their business better. So it's been a fun time to be a part of that.
So thank you, Marshall Hansen, for visiting with me here at the AgriMarketing Conference. I'm Chuck Zimmerman.
Again, that was Chuck Zimmerman with AgWire.com. And it's time for us to head out for a short break. We'll be right back with more of the day's national headlines and local reports when we return. Are you looking to increase yields up to $1,200 per acre? Well, our friends over at Phycoterra have a soil microbe food that's the glue your soil needs to improve the microbial life and provide growth to your crop and return. With the application of Phycoterra to your soil, it can increase water retention, improve nut quality, and provide longer-term viability. You can stick to growing and let Phycoterra stick to your soil. Head on over to phycoterra.com/almonds to see the difference on your orchards today. That's phycoterra.com/almonds. BioBest Sustainable Crop Management is the leader and most reliable supplier in biological crop protection and pollination. Since 1987, their team has dedicated themselves to bringing you sustainable alternatives for pest management. Interested in hearing more? Reach their representatives at customerservice.na@biobestgroup.com. That's customerservice.na@biobestgroup.com. And a local representative will reach out to you within 24 hours. BioBest North America, defining sustainable agriculture.
Wild Eye is a proud partner of growers throughout the Valley, state, and nation, providing reliable, affordable, field-proven monitoring and control solutions to help you save time and money and use water effectively. With in-person events back again, the folks from Wild Eye look forward to seeing everyone at the upcoming Crop Consultants Conference in Visalia or the Western Groundwater Conference in Burbank. With more than 50,000 systems working daily on farms like yours, you can count on WildEye. Visit them today at mywildeye.com.
Welcome back to Farm City Newsday by Agnet West. In today's national headline, sponsored by the American Farm Bureau Federation and the National Association of Farm Broadcasters. The USDA accepted offers for more than 2.5 million acres from agricultural producers and private landowners for enrollment through this year's Grassland Conservation Reserve Program sign-up. This is double last year's enrollment and brings the total acres enrolled across all CRP sign-ups in 2021 to more than 5.3 million acres, surpassing USDA's goal of 4 million acres. Producers and landowners submitted offers for nearly 4 million acres in Grassland CRP, the highest in the sign-up's history. Zach Dugeneau, Farm Service Agency Administrator, says, quote, "This increased interest in working lands conservation serves two purposes. It helps close the gap between the enrollment and available acres, and it leaves room for the administration to be innovative with the other conservation tools, such as the Conservation Reserve Enhancement Program, at our disposal as we work to enlist non-traditional partners in our conservation efforts," unquote. He also points out that grasslands sequester an incredible amount of carbon in their roots and are resilient even during drought and wildfires. It also provides good wildlife grazing habitat and grazing opportunities for producers and landowners. Dugeneau adds, quote, "There's no better way to increase soil health than with thoughtful animal impact," unquote. These headlines are brought to you by NAFB and sponsored by the American Farm Bureau Federation. Now back to the show.
You're listening to Farm City News Day by Agnet West. I'm your host, Danielle Leal. And for more agriculture news, FDA's new era of food safety blueprint and an upcoming summit. The Food and Drug Administration announced an upcoming food summit that aligns with the new era of smart food safety blueprint. Similar to the blueprint, which supports enhancements in traceability, rapid responses to outbreak, reduction in food contamination, and more, the summit's goal is to help identify potential vulnerabilities in food delivery services. According to a 2021 Food and Health Survey, 72% of Americans said the pandemic changed the way they eat and prepare food. And 42% of people shop for their groceries online at least monthly. Over the three-day summit, members of the food retail industry will collaborate with the FDA and others to discuss courses of action to address potential food safety vulnerabilities, specifically those that happen within the last mile of delivery. Some of those topics include types of B2C e-commerce models, safety risks associated with food sold through B2C e-commerce, standards of care used by the industry to control these safety risks, types of delivery models, including third-party delivery, autonomous delivery models, and regulatory approaches to food sold through these e-commerce, including challenges and gaps that need to be addressed. If you'd like to participate in the public comment portion of the summit, you must register by October 8th, or you can visit www.regulations.gov to submit your comment online. Also, September is National Preparedness Month, and 2021 offers many examples, yet again, of the importance of preparing for natural disasters. Michael Clements has more in this report.
More wildfires, drought, flooding, and Hurricane Ida top the list of natural disasters this year, with more likely to come. AARP Oklahoma State Director Sean Voskel says it's important to have a plan for your family, your farm, and your livestock.
Yet again, we see more devastating natural disasters this year. And while we can't control the weather, we can control how ready we are. Sitting down with your family and farm workers to make a plan can save you a lot of stress when that time comes. Be sure to include items everyone will need and what tasks they will be responsible for. It's also a good idea to make different plans for different types of disasters that may impact you.
And having a plan can help after a natural disaster.
Those suffering from wildfires and Hurricane Ida know too well how life following a disaster may feel chaotic for days, if not weeks. First, make sure everyone is safe and they have everything they need to get them through the next few days. Determine what your plan of action will be and assess what damages you have. Finally, be sure to find out what resources are available to you, your family, and your farm.
A FEMA representative will join AARP Thursday on AARP Live to offer tips on natural disaster preparedness.
Thursday, we'll hear from a FEMA expert to talk to you about what you need to do before, during, and after a natural disaster. From go bags to when to leave, scams, and resources to help, we'll answer your questions on how to be ready and how to do so during a pandemic.
Learn more natural disaster preparation tips by watching AARP Live Thursday night at 9 p.m. Central Time on RFD TV or at aarp.org/AARP Live. Michael Clements reporting.
Two new grant programs announced last week by USDA are designed to support ag stakeholders who haven't yet received substantial federal pandemic financial assistance. USDA's Rod Bain has comments from Agriculture Secretary Tom Vilsack in this report.
Agriculture Secretary Tom Vilsack mentioned earlier in the week when announcing pandemic relief grants for farm, food, and frontline grocery store workers.
We expect and anticipate to be making another announcement for a separate $700 million suite of pandemic safety and response grants directed at producers, processors, farmers markets, distributors, and seafood processors.
With that announcement made Thursday by the Agriculture Department, the Agricultural Marketing Service will oversee the application process for two new grant programs. Pandemic Response Safety Grants and Seafood Pandemic Response Safety Block Grants are designed to support ag stakeholders yet to receive substantial federal financial assistance in responding to the COVID-19 pandemic. USDA will soon publish requests for applications for both grant programs. More details are available online at www.ams.usda.gov. I'm Rod Bain reporting for the U.S. Department of Agriculture in Washington, D.C.
To get more information on the topics you heard today, visit Agnet West online at agnetwest.com. Get even more connected by following us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter by searching at Agnet West, and our team of Brian German at Brian German Agnet West and Danielle Leal with at D Leal Agnet West. This has been Farm City Newsday by Agnet West.